The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
It's a little after 9.30 this Tuesday morning. It's always lovely to have you with us, and thanks for tuning in. And I was talking only last week about this surreal but beautiful trip I had by Zoom, or whatever, by WebEx, I should say, to give it the correct Cisco WebEx, because they did such a lovely job in Crumlin Hospital. Wheeled around the place on the screen to meet the children, and it was lovely, and it was it made me think, and it made me grateful, and it made me impressed by everyone I met along the way. And between that experience and the toy show, my head is buzzing with gratitude and affection. And I think the same thing might be going through Katrine Sheehan's head too. Good morning, Katrine. It's lovely to talk to you.
Good morning, Ryan. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
How are you today, Katrine?
I'm good. I'm
you a little okay?
A little bit anxious, but
that's
it's
okay.
just you and me having a chat.
It's you and me, and I have your back. You know that, don't
good.
You?
Good. Thank you. I do.
So you live in Dundalk, is that right?
I'm living in Dundalk. I am, yes. I'm here living in Dundalk with my husband and my two gorgeous teenage boys, Dara and Killian. Yes.
Wonderful. And yes. You were watching, I think it was the toy show.
Yeah.
Just gone by.
Yeah.
And you thought what?
I got to do it. If I don't do it now, Ryan, I'm never going to do it.
Okay.
I suppose I watched little Adam, and I saw him with John, the lovely porter who came on from Temple Street, and it took me back in time, and it made me realise I had to be my daughter's voice, and I had to speak up and say thank you to somebody who touched our hearts so deeply in Temple Street. So just, I suppose, to bring you back, Ryan, in April of 2014... I gave birth to, after numerous, unfortunately, pregnancy losses, we finally were giving birth to our beautiful daughter, Sive. Sive came into the world a couple of weeks early. I was at home one gorgeous April afternoon sitting in the sun, and I just was anxious. I felt that she wasn't moving as much as she should be, or as much as I was used to her moving around. So the warning bells rang, and I made my way to the Rotunda from Dundalk, and I was under the care of a Dr. Rishi, wonderful Dr. Rishi in the Rotunda. And I went in and I had scans, and they said, no, everything's fine. And then the next morning I had more scans, and they sort of said, no, you know what, we're going to deliver her. Things aren't as they should be, and we'll take her out. So a bit of a shock. I was told that we'll deliver her, and you can have a little cuddle, and she'll probably have to go to the ICU just because she's a little bit early, and just have the cuddle, and we'll take her away and look after her for you for a little while. From that moment, I suppose time just sort of stood still, in that I never got the cuddle. Sive was born under an emergency section, and the red lights and noise and everything started flashing the moment she came out, and she was whisked away to the ICU.
And Katrine, when you're there in that situation, and you talk about the red lights and the sign, you're totally conscious of that?
Oh, 100%. I always remember my husband was rubbing my hand, obviously trying to reassure me, but I knew by the veracity with which he was rubbing my hand, I knew he was nervous, and I was more concerned about him. So the minute she came out and she was whisked away, I sent him with her. I said, I'm fine. You need to go with her. I'll be okay. Oh, you're very aware of it. And your instinct as a mother, I knew from the moment she was born, I had two healthy, gorgeous boys delivered. I knew this was very different. And I had 7 losses, Ryan, up to delivering Sive. Okay. I had the year before, I had buried her little brother and delivered him and buried him at 3 months. So I knew that Sive was going to be, it was going to be very difficult for her to stay with us.
And where was Sive whisked away to?
Sive was whisked away under the wonderful care of Dr. Adrian Foran in the NICU in the Rotunda, and spent 2 weeks there, Ryan. And, you know, there were good days and there were bad days, and we got to cuddle her and we got to be with her. But my instinct, she was so fragile looking to me, my instinct was always, this isn't good. She was then taken to Temple Street for an MRI scan on her brain, we were told, you know, it'd be a day or two before we'd have any word back on how she was. But within 20 minutes of her coming back, we were pulled into a room, and when I saw the consultant, who's a mother, crying in front of me as she gave me the news. I knew things were really bad.
What did she say to you?
So what had happened was that Saif had developed, I suppose, in as easy as terms as I can describe, Saif had developed lots of little blood clots all over her body, and one of them either had developed or travelled to her brain, and the grey matter on her brain had been severely damaged. And with that, Saif was going to have huge challenges in life. Huge challenges, and we knew that she would never walk, for example. Potentially she was blind at that stage. We already could observe that she was having little seizures. She was going to have a very challenging time. But you know what? We sort of said, okay, she's ours, and that's what life is going to bring us. And we'll deal with that, and we'll cope with that. And that's what we were prepared to do. And with that, I was moved to Temple Street. And Owen and I went with her and spent the next 2 weeks with her in Temple Street.
And in those 2 weeks, you met a nurse called Karen.
We met the most amazing human being I have potentially ever met, Ryan, called Karen. Of why I picked up the courage to use, because I couldn't pick up the courage during Temple Street, as strange as that might sound. It's just, I can still remember walking out the doors of Temple Street, holding my two sons' hands, and for the last time, and I don't think I could do that again. So I thought, you know, watching Adam, I said, I need to be Saif's voice. She can't speak. And I teach my children to say thank you to those people who are kind to them.
Of course.
And I couldn't, Saif can't do that. And this lady just, I mean, she was just an angel.
What did she do?
She wrapped us all up. She looked after us. She sat with us. She held us. I suppose the biggest thing she did, unfortunately, she wasn't with us on the night that Saif passed away, but Saif had to go for a post-mortem and just to try and determine exactly, you know, was there anything genetically that we needed to know for the future for our two sons. But she, on the morning that we went to pick up Saif, it was a Tuesday morning, and my sister and my brother-in-law, I remember, drove us, Owen and myself, and we had family support around us. We've wonderful and have continued to have wonderful family support. But we had wonderful family support around us. But I think in that moment, you're very much, it's just the two of you. And we went into Temple Street, and I had brought with me a little white baby girl with little grey stars. And I had a little white cardigan that both of her brothers had worn, and it was very important to me that she take a little bit of us with her. So I wanted these to be her forever clothes, and I wanted to have something that her brothers had both worn. So when we went into Temple Street that morning, my eyes obviously straight away scanned for Karen, this beautiful nurse, and she wasn't there. And I asked for her, and I was told that unfortunately it was her day off and that she wasn't available or she wouldn't be there. Now, obviously, I was upset because she had been such a part of our journey and had looked after us so much, fed us everything. And I turned around. I had this kind of feeling behind me or sense behind me, and I turned around, and Karen was standing behind me in her ordinary, everyday civilian clothes, for want of a better word. And she had come, I don't know where she lived in Dublin. I don't know if she had a family. I assume she did. But she had left her family and her own life at home on her day off, Ryan, and she had come into Temple Street to be with us for those few moments of just picking up the most difficult, darkest hour in our lives. And she was there, and it just, she took the clothes from my hand, and I just said, I need her dressed in these, and she just took them. And I knew, I trusted that she would have the dignity and the respect to dress Saif and to be a mother to her, because in that moment I couldn't be. Saif, as I said, Ryan had a post-mortem, and Owen was very aware and conscious. He didn't want me sort of getting upset by seeing what had happened to her little body. She'd been through enough. So, I mean, I remember she was wearing a hat, and I went to take the hat off to see her hair, and he said, Katrine, don't take her, don't do it, you'll only upset yourself, because we knew she had severe brain damage, so that they would have had to check, you know.
I understand.
Yeah. So she just, Ryan, was this amazing human being who, you know, we hear so much about our frontline workers now, and rightly so, but you know what, they've always been there. And they always just mind us in such a way. You know, when I couldn't look after my daughter, Karen did that for me, and I've never had the courage or the strength in these 5 years. Every year I say, I'm going to write this letter, I'm going to send it to Ryan, and he's going to say thank you, because the gratitude is so great that me sending flowers or writing a letter to her, it's not enough. And I wanted her to be publicly acknowledged and recognised for the colossus of a person, for the heroine that she really is and was to our family. I don't know her surname. I know I was in St. Michael's B Ward in Temple Street for that period of time, and Clive passed away on the 10th of May in 2014. So that's what Karen did for us, Ryan.
I don't know what that must be like to have to do what you went through as a family. And I don't know how... I understand why it's taken you so long.
Yeah.
Because it must have been one of the hardest letters you ever wrote, even were sending an email to us. It must have been very hard.
Yeah, it was. But do you know, Ryan, I don't know, somewhere I've gotten this courage.
Good.
And it's not even courage today or last week or 2 weeks ago to write this letter. So I've passed away in, as I said, in May of 2010. In May of 2010, 10th of May 2014.
Yes.
And there's another story. While I have you, in the moment that she passed away, my sons were with us in the room. She passed away in my arms, and my two boys were there. They were 10 and 8 at the time, and no one was there. And she passed away, and maybe it was because my boys were there. But what kept going round in my head in that moment was Seamus Heaney's poem "Midterm Break," and I kind of put it down to the fact that my children were there, and I was so conscious of how they might feel in the moment. I was more concerned about them than myself, really, I suppose. And the Seamus Heaney's poem started going round in my head, but the words were all jumbled up. And the paediatrician in charge that night was a young doctor called Paddy. And Paddy came in and sat down and held my hand and said, I told him, this poem just keeps going round in my head. And he recited the poem, word for word,
really?
To me. And I just thought, and I turned to my husband, it was one of those things, and we sort of said, we weren't going to allow this moment in time to define us. We were still young, our children were young, and we had an awful lot of life to live. And I know Si would not want me to be heartbroken. I am heartbroken, but to find strength, and I find strength, Ryan, in her every day. I decided I'd always wanted to study English. It had always been a passion. I met Owen in college. I did a business degree. But English and history were always my passion. And she passed away in May, and I decided to go back to college. I started in humanities degree in the DKIT here in Dundalk.
Great.
In September of that year. And the friends, they know who they are, and the lecturers and the people who I met there helped me survive. And I went on, and I did that, and yes, I felt sad, and yes, I still have bad days, but I have never met so... Everything that has happened since I've passed away has been positive. And then a lecturer sort of said to me, would you consider teaching, and would you consider going on and doing something like that? And she put the idea in my head. So what started off as a journey of survival, you know, and having somewhere to go every day and go to college and still be able to pick up my children from school at the end of the day. I'm now in my fourth year of teaching. I teach in Drogheda Institute of Further Education, and I have the most wonderful colleagues and up there who probably are really, some of them really surprised to hear me on the radio today because they won't know this story. But they're my second family. They have been amazing. There are too many to mention. Ellen, Mary, everybody. They've just been fabulous.
I'm glad your friends and people who don't know the story know now, because Saif isn't a secret, and you know that too, and initially never would have been. But your emotions would have been kept down because no one wants to, you know, be a burden on anyone else. That's
exactly.
I get from, this is what I'm taking from what you're saying to me, Katrine. But at the same time, I sense today is kind of slightly liberating in a way, because
it is.
It's almost like you've introduced Saif to the world to say, well, here's, and your boys, you know, just to say you've harnessed all the goodness and brought yourself to a better place.
I definitely have, and I put that down. You know, I meet students every day, and some of them in very difficult situations, and they're wonderful kids, and I adore my job. I get into my car every day, and I love my job. And Sive has given me that gift, and she's given me the strength and the gift to make a difference in people's lives, and I do it every day for her. She's the reason I'm there, and my boys. I wanted them to see. It was really important for them to see. We survive. You don't. Mum doesn't fall apart. We just have to get on and survive. And there were days, you know, when I was, you know, they told me, Mum, 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds go to college. Mums don't go to college. And there were days they came in and there was history or English books all over the kitchen table as I was writing essays, and they were like, any chance of dinner? Or, you know.
How old are they now, Katrine?
They're 16 and 14.
They're not boys. They're men.
They're men. They're big men. They're much taller than their mum anyway. And they're great. And they mind me very, very well. And I do. I am conscious of them and how different life would have been. They have lots of lovely little cousins and they adore them. Mm. And I know how different life would be and how spoiled their little sister would be if she were here today. But we're good, Ryan. We're in a happy place. That's the most important thing. I suppose I want people to know this is, yes, it's very tragic and yes, it's horrible and it's something I never wanted myself, my husband or my children or my family, my extended family to go through, but we did and we survived it and we're in a better place and Sive is with us every single day and it's up to me to honour and acknowledge her and to keep her alive and that's what I'm trying to do every day and that's why I want to thank Karen just because Sive would have wanted to thank her. How kind and how gracious and the respect and the dignity with which she treated us as a family and in particular Sive in her last days are very important to me.
Katrine, I love what you said to us today.
Oh, good.
I really am. And I hope you're happy that you had this conversation. And
I am, Ryan.
I want to wish you a happy Christmas.
And
I'm raising a metaphorical glass to Sive wherever she is today.
Thank you, Ryan.
And also to you and your boys and your husband. And
thank you.
I look forward to seeing you in real life sometime soon. And
Here's
to, as I keep saying to people whenever I meet them these days, here's to brighter days ahead.
And definitely. Spring's around the corner.
It's so true. I was in my garden clearing up some leaves yesterday and I saw four buds peeping through the earth and I actually got my heart skipped a beat.
Yeah, the sun will shine again, Ryan.
You have it.
Definitely will.
Yeah. Happy Christmas, Katrine.
You too. God
lovely
bless.
To talk
thank
to you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Ryan.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that very, very much indeed. And what a lovely story. Thank you, Katrine. I know a lot of people are having a good old cry this morning listening to that and we see that on the text. And people like Patricia who's listening to Katrine and she's remembering her own baby daughter, Claire, who passed away in Temple Street in her parents' arms in May 2013 at the age of 12 days, 5 hours and 10 minutes. And she was our fourth daughter and we and her three older siblings feel her loss every day and we have the most special connection to Temple Street and its immeasurable spirit. Treasure every moment, as you say, Patricia, with your children this Christmas and remember our angel children with love. And there is no, we can do nothing but remember those beautiful children who just weren't going to be with us for too long. And we think about them today and we think about the nurse, Karen, whose name we don't even know, second name we don't even know, but it was just somebody who, even as Katrine described, she looked around and there she was on her day off in her civvies saying, what do you need? I mean, that's not normal. That's not ordinary. That's extraordinary. So a lot of gratitude in the air and rightly so.